strength mail.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, everyone here looks well.
You too.
I'm
You look well too. Yes.
And you look just fine too.
Well, you might think that I was being presumptuous, but I mean it really from the heart. It's so good to see you and welcome all of these folks that have not been with us in the past, but are now coming out to find out what's the NCCB all about. Hey, we're here because God has called us to represent Him in the blind community. We're here because He's put a burden on our heart to encourage and represent Him as we join corporately in worship, praise, and honor, and glorify Him in our lives. And we do that with joy.
Yeah.
You know? We do that because He's given us a day that we can celebrate the victory over death and sin.
Yeah.
And I want to thank our new sound man. He's doing a good job, isn't he? And for our new president, he's been called to fit in, and he fits very nicely.
Yeah.
When, I met Duncan in, 95.
Yes.
And we were up at Monadnock Bible Camp there, and they had called me. I was doing the things that the sisters and the brothers were doing here just a minute ago, prayer and praise. And I wasn't too good at it at that time. I don't know if I'm still any good at it. But I enjoyed it, and the camp director there, unfortunately, has gone on to glory, but I loved Russ. Russ was a special guy. And, watched Duncan sing alongside of Reverend, that's what time does he can't.
Bob
Rathbone. And I remember Bob saying to me one night, "Enoch, I want to talk to you about, come on around the side of the building here." And we sit out on the back porch of Monadnock there and had a little, heart to heart. And I could tell that he knew that God had a call on my life, and I recognized that God had already called him and he was doing the work that he had been called to for some years. Because I'm not one of those folks that sits in a crowd and yak. I just don't fit in that way. But I like to see who God is working on and what He's doing with their lives, because it encourages me. And tonight I see Pauline, and I say, Pauline said to me when we came in here the other day, "Oh, every time I turn around, I hear Enoch go on the phone." But I'm calling because I know she has a heart for this work, and I like to work with people that are serious. I'm a little rough sometimes to get along with, but I'm serious. And when I say we're going to do something, I know that if God's given me the way to do it and He's opened the door, you better get out of the way because I'm coming through. And I've been that way all my life. I've worked as a mechanic for about 20 years until I opened my business one morning and picked up a work order that I'd written the night before, and I couldn't read my own writing. I said, "Lord, what's this all about?" But it was the time God had set for me to get my life in order. And over the next couple of years, He led me down that path that said, "Hey, Enoch, you've got a lot of problems you need to do something about." And I said, "Lord, fix me, because I can't fix myself."
Amen.
And that was in 1992. And He's been working on me ever since, I think. Father, we're here because You've called us to represent You as a body of believers that, Lord, need to know that we live in a time when we can do Your will and see it manifest in Your glory as You reveal Yourself to those that open their hearts and minds and say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And today, Lord, that's more important than anything else we could find to do with our lives, because, Lord, they're in your hands, under your direction, and Lord, you never started a work you didn't complete. And we thank you for the opportunity tonight to share your word as you share your love with us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I'm going to read the theme verse here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that theme that we've chosen kind of tells me that I've got the whole book before me. Because if it's all scripture, where did it start? It started back there in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? God put two people there. Of course, he wanted them to be one. We're still working on that. But he had his intentions were given to them to become one flesh. Now, as I know, one flesh would speak to the natural life that we live and the one that we share with one another as a husband and wife. And we find that it's not exactly going the way he wanted it to. As I look around today, in fact, it's quite the different from it was maybe 40 or 50 years ago. And some of you, I don't believe, reached that part of life where you could say, I can recall 50 years ago. But that's all right. Just take it one day at a time. You'll be able to reflect and say, hey, Lord, you know what? I wish I'd have done it a little differently. Because sometimes, and I think back over the last 50 years, I have to remember that people like Chuck Swindoll, or what was the one that Franklin? I got saved about the same time they did. About 13 years old, and God was doing a thing with me in the neighborhood. I got thrown out of quite a few of my neighbors' houses. But I didn't mind that. I can remember one of them even getting saved. So I figured, you know, if God says it's worth more than all of this dirt that we stand on to get one soul out of this world and into heaven, I said, well, Lord, you gave me that opportunity at 13 years old. So I didn't feel bad about them telling me, don't come back around here no more. But you know what? And it's been a burden on my heart ever since that after going into service and kind of drifting away from the word and all, and I raised four children, and I didn't do the greatest job with them, but unfortunately, that was something I had to learn that, as parents, we have to pay attention to what's going on with our children. And they all made it great out there in society making money, because they came back to me and said, one thing you taught us was how to work. Well, yes, but I didn't get through to them that they were working for the one who created them. And that part still works on me at times, because I know that, sometimes money just doesn't fit all that we need in this world. And whether you have a pocket full of it or a bank full of it, you can't get to heaven with your money. You can't take and tell God, I've earned my way into this situation. I've got to be able to, say, because I love you, and because I care for you, and because I want you to have God's best, that I'm here to represent him before you. And I had to learn that lesson the whole hard way. I mean, it wasn't easy. And some of us are still learning it. That instruction that we get from his word tells us that we can humble ourselves and know that he is God. Know that he's able to give us everything that life is about. And it wasn't until 1992 that I got on my knees and said to him, Lord, fix me, because I can't fix myself. And I knew that when I got up from that prayer, we had talked to one another And he was willing to forgive me for all those years that I messed up and turned my life around. And there's not a soul on this earth that could get me to leave him, nor forsake him, or give him up, because I know he'll never give me up, and he'll never give you up either. If you've been true with him, he'll certainly be faithful to you. And you know, Adam and Eve, I often wonder about when they sinned. Now, they didn't have the knowledge that we have. They were in a state of innocence. They didn't know what it was to sin until they actually committed the first one. They didn't know that those words that we hear being bandied about today, like it's common ordinary language, that speak to the vulgarness and the lack of integrity that a lot of us are walking around with. And you know, I had a problem with doors. Anybody ever bump into doors and you find across the top of your eye is where it always seems to hit? Well, when I was still trying to deal with my language barrier, I would find that the door into my middle room in the house seemed to be always halfway open. Oh, yes, I saw the sound that I, but I had another way of voicing them. And you know what? After about the second or third time, I said, "Lord, are you trying to tell me something?" And I've done that a few times since, and my mouth just goes, "I'll become mute." So I said, "Well, that was a lesson learned the hard way." But God is able to teach us those things that we need to know, and dependent upon how stubborn you are or how rejective you have been to hearing what he's trying to do with you, you might find it a little painful. But we don't like pain, you know. Well, I'm sure Adam and Eve didn't like the fact that when he put them out of the Garden of Eden, Adam had to go out there and start digging in the ground to turn the soil over to make sure things were coming up out of it. When originally all he had to do was go out there and clean up once in a while, and you know, instead of planting it and making sure that it was watered and make sure he picked it while it was ripe enough, he kind of turned things over on himself, didn't he? And we've been doing the same ever since. We have this you know, idea that somehow we're going to fix this world in the state that it's in. But it's not the state of the world that we need to fix, it's the state of our hearts. And God wants us to know that he's able to fix you and I on an individual basis. As Cynthia said last night, it's a relationship. People come to me and say, "What religion are you?" I said, I have a basic fundamental denominational affiliation, but my religion is relationship. And it's a personal one. It's not one that you can, buy into, sign up for, or work your way into the great status, because I've signed on some of those papers. You want to be a part of this denomination, sign right here. Well, that may be fine, identifying my denominational affiliation with the Christian realm, but how about my heart? I could be out there partying and doing everything that the world's doing, and show up on Sunday, and you think I'm a great Christian. Unfortunately, that's the state of affairs in some cases today within the Christian realm. And I find it sad, because God has a call on our lives today to be able to represent him in a world that can obviously see the difference. If you're living for Christ, then they can tell that you're different than they are. They might not like you, but in fact, there's a gentleman here with me tonight, and we had a conversation with one particular gentleman that's up in Canada the other night, and I told him, I said, "Look, we're not here to undermine you, because you have your point of view, and I can understand that, and you have the right to hold that point of view, but we still have to treat one another with the idea that, hey, I respect you, and you can respect me. And if I do what the Lord's called me to do, and you do what you're called to do, one of us is not going to end up in the right place." You know? I've never told anybody you're going to hell. they can find a way there all by themselves. And the thing is, some of them, you know, think that somehow that they're going to escape it because they ignored the reality of God. And, you know, when God came to Adam and Eve, he told them, what have you done? It wasn't that he didn't know what they'd done. He'd seen it all and already knew what was going to happen before it ever occurred. He could have stepped in and said, I'm not going to let you do that. But that wouldn't have proved anything. It wouldn't have given them the opportunity to show their love for God and that they have realized that he had created them and established them in the best possible position in their present situation. Because he knew that with that weakness of being able to take and make a choice based on somebody else's opinion. You know what? The world is full of opinions. And I find out, well, if you don't like the way I think, then fine, I don't have a problem with that. I'd want you to know that I still am going to stand on the principles of God, whether or not you want to, you know, share them with me, or that you feel that they're worthwhile, or somehow maybe I've got the wrong view of things. But then when I look at what God's done in this world in maintaining throughout the centuries a standard of his representation and delivering folks who had looked to him for guidance and leading and overcoming odds that were vastly greater than they are, and that there's no apparent reason for it. You know why America is free today? Because there were a bunch of folks around that thought that, hey, we had something that was worthwhile standing up and fighting for. And those bases now are still values that we say we have, but we don't stand up and say God has given them to us. We somehow feel that we're deserving of them, that we've got you know, the heads up because we got better armament than you. No, my armament is in God's hands. He's got our hearts there. He's got our lives there. He's got our understanding of who he is there. And you can't understand his word until he gets there. You know, a lot of folks want to be theologians. Well, I've had two doctorates for quite a few years now, and I never pull them out. They're in the closet. I tell people that, you know, all I need to tell you is what Jesus had to say about it. And that's where the power is. What he said about life and what he did to maintain the life of those that put their lives in his hands is what's going to make the difference between how you live and where you're going to spend eternity. And I'd rather stand on what he says than anybody else. You know, it's all right that we have leaders down there in Washington or Pennsylvania, up there in Harrisburg, or in our city of Philadelphia. But when they leave the basis for respect and integrity to seek their own way and their own glory, they've left us to the wolves. That's what they've done. And I'm not going to tell you about any particular party, because I think mankind today, all it needs is somebody to give them the incentive to say, look, you can get here and do this and become that. I had that proposed to me when I came out of the service. I was standing on the corner down the street from a man who was a son of the senator of Pennsylvania at that time. And I went to school with him. And he came up and said, Enoch, would you like to get in politics? I said, no, I don't want to lie the rest of my life. He said, how about being a policeman? I said, no, I don't like getting shot at either. So there went my political career. But you know what? I'm glad I made those two decisions, because I had to find out that there were some things in life that I wanted to do in this world, and being a mechanic was one of them. And I was a good one until the Lord decided that I should answer the call he had on my life. And you know, God will let you go off on a tangent, but if you belong to him, he's going to bring you back. He's going to show you that he loves you, because he says that he corrects his own. And if he doesn't, then you've got a problem. You weren't in the family in the first place. If you keep going down that path of disobedience and feeling like, well, you know, I don't have to worry about what God says. Well, you may be right, upright to the point where you're at now. But when you face that moment when you're saying, Lord, I'm dying, what are you going to do about it? You may not know that you're around. You may have rejected him to the point of where you hardened your heart so you couldn't accept him if you wanted to. There's a time when people can get to that place where they become so hard that they don't believe anything anybody tells them. And they're trying to pull this world into that situation with all the agendas that are out there today. You know, modernism. Oh, make it up. You can be what you want to be. Just think it up and then it'll happen. Yes. No, it's not. It's a lie. And then it came along with postmodernism. Oh, now we don't have to believe anybody. We can do it all by, you know, just by the fact that whatever suits me is fine as long as you don't get in my way. We live in a world like that. They go out and shoot one another every day. And unfortunately, it's our youngsters that are doing it. They're killing one another like flies. And we wonder, why are they doing that? They don't have any foundation. They never had one laid in their life. They never saw love in their homes. They never knew that there was a God who cared about them, because their families didn't. They were all partying on the weekend and leaving the kids sitting in front of the TV, soaking up all that junk. And I actually got in a car with a Christian who had a child that was in his care and had one of those games in his hands. And the way he acted over that game, it was his reality. And I said, Lord, please help this young man, because he's in another world. And that's, you know, something that I played games when I was young, but hey, it was a game. You know, you got up when your parents said, come in here and get that mop and mop that porch. It was time to go then. You know, but these folks are off into a tangent that they've actually imagined life in a piece of little plastic that they're holding in their hands. And it's very sad, really. And I get to crying very easy. And I'm sitting there with tears welling up in my eyes, watching their life go down the tubes, because they don't know that God loves them. You know, how did that work out for Adam and Eve? Well, they had two sons. And one of them decided he was going to be a farmer, and the other one's going to be a shepherd. One's raising flocks, the other's raising vegetables. Now, neither one of those is a bad trade. Sometimes we hear people talk about, well, because Cain was a farmer, he was condemned or somehow guilty of not honoring God. No, because I'd stop eating if that was the case. But the thing is, his heart wasn't right. His mere motive for what he was doing was what God was looking at. He thought he was earning his way into God's favor because he worked with his hands to produce it and brought it to God as though, Lord, you got to accept this because this is what I did. No, we work for God because he's working through us and in us and giving us the ability to produce the things that we do for his glory. And you know what, when I look at it from that perspective, I can see the joy that he fills my heart with, because I know he's taken enough interest in this pile of dirt to say, hey, I'm going to use you to be a blessing to someone else. And when you do it for that reason, you can share in the joy of it, because you're sharing with him in doing what he came into this world for. He came into it to seek that which was lost. And we've been lost for a long time, folks, but it's not going to be too much longer. You know why? Because those things that are, you know, laid out in the Bible are coming to pass. Yes, that men are growing more evil. And the Bible tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of his coming. And so when you say, well, why can't we get this thing straightened out? Why don't it turn around? I'm sad to say, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And we have to be about our Father's business. Because when we touch the hearts of others with the Word of God, in the love of God, and the understanding that, hey, there but for the grace of God go I. Then we are going to see God do the work that he's going to allow us to take part in by wooing them with his Holy Spirit. Nobody comes to God of their own. I've had people tell me, oh, I'm going to become a Christian one day. I understand what you're saying. I said, you can't become a Christian until the day God gives you the understanding that you need it right now. When it becomes a right now thing, and you say yes, he'll do it right now. You know, it's not, well, you know, my mother's a Christian, or my father's a Christian. Oh, but they both have a church, and I've been attending it for 20 years. There's no grandchildren in God's family. Amen. They were all sons and daughters. And we need to let people know that God has a work he wants to do for them as well. A life he wants them to live that they can be able to be a blessing to their neighbors, to their families, to their friends, to the strangers that walk down the street. You know, if you can't love the coke addict or the drunk or the guy who's smoking the pot or the one who's, you know, beating up your neighbors or whatever, then you don't have a heart for souls. You got to understand that they don't know that their life is just as important in God's sight as yours. He loves every one of us. He didn't say because they did. Oh, by the way, he hates the sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And we have to be able to see that God can separate them from their sin and make them a saint. Did you ever consider yourself to be a saint? Each one of you that has Jesus Christ in his heart today is a saint. The word means set apart, called out, and we have an affiliation and a relationship and a family that we now belong to. Even though we're still in this world, we're positionally perfect in God's sight, but practically we're a work in progress. And he's going to finish that work before you get out of here. You can't go home without him finishing it. And that means that as you go in your relationship with him and you win those victories over the fear, the worry, the lack of ability, and all the shortcomings that we say, I can't do that. My wife will tell you, I don't want to hear that. Because God can do all things, and he does them well. He doesn't ask us to, hey, come up and let me see if you did got a good report card today. Sometimes I didn't get a good report card. In fact, sometimes I didn't even want to take it home. But you know what? I learned that through those days that I was trying to get through school, that I found out, you know what, you understand things a lot easier than most people do. And I said, you know, maybe he gave me a little bit more IQ. And of course, Uncle Sam didn't think that. He thought I was only about a 94. but I got around some folks that knew better. And I said, you know what, I do have a ability to learn the things that God's saying in his word. So maybe that's where I need to put my time and my efforts. And you know what? I love it. I love digging into the Word because the one who created us has given us a life that we can see his plan and purpose for because he's there guiding us through it. And if you would want to know whether life is worth living, get your heart in God's hands, your life in his Word. And you'll be able to say every day, Lord, this is the day you've made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.